This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, what is going on with all these injuries with these young players?
Oh, right? My.
Fernando Tatis Jr. goes down. Ronald Acuna Jr. goes down. And now Juan Soto on the 10-day injured list? What's going on?
It's sad, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the COVID stuff, the stop, the start. You know, I don't know. It's truly a bummer, though.
Yeah. Strained left shoulder. The team announced on Tuesday afternoon. He had originally been in Tuesday's starting lineup against the Cardinals. But the Nationals tweeted the injured list move about an hour before the start of the game. He's going to have to sit out at least the next 7 games. Man, terrible. This might be a sign of good things to come. Major League Baseball and the Players Union met for the first talks for the next collective bargaining agreement. Sources told Jeff Passan they met on Tuesday via Zoom for their first negotiating session a little more than 6 months before the sports collective bargaining agreement lapses. I'm going to be talking with Dave Schoenfield about that. National League MVP Freddie Freeman spoke with reporters about his impending free agency in the fall, and he said he doesn't want to negotiate during the course of the year. Look, I just think that Freddie Freeman and the Braves need to have clarity on the next CBA before working out a new deal. I think that's what's going on. I think eventually Freddie will sign an extension to sign with the Braves. Maybe that happens next winter. Longtime big leaguer Neil Walker announced his retirement. Great news for the Dodgers. They don't expect Mookie Betts to land on the injured list after he was hit by a pitch on Monday night. He was out of the starting lineup yesterday. Let's get to the good stuff. The Oakland Athletics are rolling. They won the first game of a doubleheader Tuesday, their 9th straight win. And then in game 2, this happened at the very end with the Twins rallying and Jake Diekman clinging to a lead.
Left field. Canna going back. Canna still going back. Canna leaps, and he caught it, and that's the ball game.
10 in a row for the Oakland Athletics. The Yankees are absolutely scrambling to revitalize their early season. They were playing the Braves yesterday. They fell behind 1-0, bottom of the 5th, and this happened.
Gio Urshela, and he wraps one to center field and deep. Heredia back, still back, turning, looking, see ya, tie game, Urshela goes yard, 1-1.
Michael Kay on the Yes Network, and then they loaded the bases in the bottom of the 8th inning.
And that one's going to get past Arnaud. Here comes Hicks, he'll score. Yankees lead 2-1.
The Yankees pull out a 3-1 win over Atlanta. Mike Trout had the hardest hit home run of his entire career last night, 115 miles per hour. This is what it sounded like.
Trying to get back to that timing of that foot and also his head, where it is.
I think he just did it. I think he just did it. The timing is back.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. That from the Angels television network. And Buster Posey had quite a night in Philadelphia.
Buster hits a high drive to left. He's done it again. Out of here.
Our friend Dwayne Kuiper on the Giants television network. We're going to talk with Dave Schoenfield today about whether or not he thinks Buster Posey is a Hall of Famer. It's an interesting conversation because of the numbers involved. Now, before we get to Dave and to Hembo, baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/baseball. And the fantasy baseball season is underway. That means fantasy-focused baseball with Tristan and Eric is a must-listen for all fantasy baseball managers. This week, Eric and Tristan talked about dealing with health uncertainties, which former MVP is a health concern for the rest of the season, and their trust on some impressive fast starts. And you can't leave any podcast without bullpen updates and pitcher previews. Follow Fantasy Focus Baseball wherever you listen to podcasts. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Welcome to the show!
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, mate.
Welcome to the show. Whoa!
Welcome to the show, baby.
You're in the show with David Schoenfield.
David Schoenfield covers baseball for ESPN. And Dave, today is about taking a strong stand. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So yesterday, Corbin Burnes, another ridiculous game for the Milwaukee Brewers. He's now got 40 strikeouts, and he still hasn't walked anyone in the 2021 season. We saw, you know, I have seen signs of this in the past where you could see he was putting it all together. But, man, he is completely dominant to the point that I asked this question in a very sincere manner. At this point, where would you put him in that conversation about the best pitcher on the planet among the likes of Jacob deGrom, Garrett Cole, Shane Bieber, Julio Urias, who yesterday was ridiculous for the Dodgers?
Yeah, I watched both of those games. I've seen the last couple of Burnes' starts. Buster, his stuff is just absolutely phenomenal. You know, 98 mile an hour fastball. That cutter that he talked about last week that he unveiled last year is basically unhittable. He's got the off-speed stuff, and now he's throwing strikes. Last year, he averaged 3.5 walks per nine. Now he's averaging zero. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is infinity. Look, the only question mark I have at this point, can he do it for 30 starts and, you know, 190 to 200 innings like those other pitchers have done? Stuff-wise, he's number two in the game, right behind DeGrom. Right now, his stuff is better than Garrett Cole's. That's how good he looks. It's just the durability question.
That is something. You got him ahead of Shane Bieber.
I got to put him fourth just because of the lack of track record.
Right.
But Shane Bieber's not throwing 98. I mean, he just dismantled a pretty good Padres lineup, and I don't think he was as good as he was the game before. I mean, just watch him pitch. It's, you know, it's unhittable stuff.
It really is. The way that he dominates, I talked to some Cubs people about it, and they're just in awe of how great it is right now. I'll pose the question in a different way when we talk about Urias, who was so great yesterday. It's a postseason game, okay? Among all the pitchers in baseball, who would you want to start in the postseason? Because he might be my guy.
Like, wow, I mean.
I feel like after what we saw in the postseason last year, it was pretty clear that what Dave Roberts said is right, that he is absolutely unbothered by outside forces.
Yeah, that game yesterday, one hit, and that was a little infield trickler. The Mariners didn't hit a single ball at 100 miles an hour exit velocity, only the second time that's happened in a game this year. He could have gone 8 or 9. They took him out after 7. Yeah, right now he looks the best of those 5 aces in that Dodger rotation, and we saw what he did last October. We've been waiting for this guy for years, right? They've kind of, you know, took him slowly. He had some injury problems. The leash is off this year, and I think we're finally going to see him hit that potential.
Let me ask you a question, and I only asked as you were talking, and I was thinking about sort of waiting for him for years. I remember having a conversation with him a couple of years ago, along with Matt Bescurgeon, Jessica Mendoza, Alex Rodriguez. He has that unusual number for a pitcher, number 7. Do you remember? And I know the answer to this. It's kind of a semi-quiz. Do you remember the player that he wears that for?
No, I'm trying to, he's Mexican, obviously. I don't know. Is there somebody from Mexico who wore Vinny Castilla?
It's a great guess by you. It was a player that he rooted for as a kid, And the strange thing, I covered this player back in the Padres. He was a complete fringy player who probably had less than 200 plate appearances in the major leagues. Daryl Sherman. You remember him?
I remember the name. I can't say I have a visual of Daryl Sherman, but I do remember the name.
He was a great guy, had a really thin mustache. But when we talk to Julio, it's not very often that Daryl Sherman is being honored by one of the best big league pitchers.
That's great. By the way, yesterday at another odd fact, Marco Gonzalez started for Seattle. He also wears number 7. So maybe that was the first 7-7 matchup in MLB history.
Yeah, and I guarantee you there's no chance that Marco Gonzalez wears it because of Daryl Sherman.
By the way, Buster, I don't know if you heard this. So there were only 3 hits in that game.
Right.
That was only the 12th game since the mound was lowered in 1969 that featured that few number of hits. 3 hits total in a game. Only 12 times has it happened since 1969.
Crazy. It's interesting because we've seen some games with a lot of home runs. For example, on Sunday night, you know, the Braves and the Cubs were bashing home runs all over the place. But for the most part, when you watch these games these days, it really does feel like every run scored, it requires like a legislative agenda.
I've gotten into the habit of every night, what's the league-wide batting average today? And I know on Sunday, when I looked it up, the league hit 195 that day. I think there were 4 shutouts, a 2-1 game at Coors. Last night, it was like 218 or something like that. This is going to be an issue we're talking about all season. But, yeah, the batting average is at historic lows. Every run, every home run is huge.
All right. Last night, Buster Posey was a hitter who produced some offense, a couple of home runs for the San Francisco Giants. And I thought about this as I heard the voice of our old friend Dwayne Kuiper calling the home runs. Is Buster Posey a Hall of Famer? And to me, I have a distinct view on this. I'm curious what yours is. And let me just give you his resume. Okay. And he's off to a nice start, which is pretty cool to see this year. He looks good at the plate, hitting 316. So maybe he's got 2 or 3 years and this whole conversation, goes from if somebody feels like maybe it, then he goes into the definitely category. But so far, he's got 12 years in the big leagues. This is year number 12. He, of course, sat out last year, opted to as he and his wife adopted twins. He was, of course, a rookie of the year. He was an MVP one season. He has 3 top 10 finishes for the most valuable player award in his career. He was part of that Giants dynasty, 3 championships, a big part. And it was about a decade, I think you would agree with me, in which he and Yadier Molina and Joe Mauer were considered to be the best catchers in the big leagues. So he was a preeminent player at his position. But then you get to the counting statistics.
Right.
1,392 hits. So fewer than 1,500 hits. 144 homers, 603 runs, 677 RBI. A career adjusted OPS of plus OPS plus of 128. He has 41.8 WAR. Dave, that's less than Brett Gardner. That's less than Don Mattingly. That's less than Milt Pappas. That's less than Andrew McCutchen. So my question to you is, Buster Posey, Hall of Famer?
Yeah, it's tough because this is now me speaking generally here. The Hall of Fame voters, and this includes the BBWA or the veterans committees, they tend to reward longevity over a high peak. So that's obviously a huge knock against Buster Posey. You know, look at Ted Simmons, who got elected last year, played forever. That's how he got in. You know, good player. You know, he wasn't Johnny Bench or Gary Carter, one of those guys, but very good catcher for a long time. He gets in. That's like the opposite of Buster Posey. Look at a guy like Jorge Posada, whose career WAR is probably right around that same figure. Played on a lot of winning teams. I think he was one and done, right? Off the ballot.
Yeah.
Certainly he wasn't at his best as good as Buster Posey. So I'm evading the question because I don't know. It's real. He is so hard. You know, you got to give him some slack for being a catcher. The thing that hurts him is he has 2 years, you know, that he missed, right? The injury early in his career, and he didn't play at all last year. That hurts him. Do you factor, you know, that in any way? Right now, I think he's probably, my gut says, short. I think he needs two or three more good, not just hanging on years, but two or three productive years.
So as I was preparing for the pod this morning, I was looking back through some notes, and there was an article written in 2017 on 538, basically that Buster Posey is building a case to be a slam dunk Hall of Famer. At that point, in other words, their perspective was at that point that it was a no doubt. This is 2017. And now we're 4 years later, and you and I are kind of mulling it over. It's a great point about Posada. I'm looking at his numbers here, and I talked about counting statistics for his career, 1,664 hits, about 300 more than Buster does, 275 home runs, about twice as many as Posey. He was a five-time All-Star. He had two finishes in the top 10 for MVP. He finished third in 2003.
Yep.
He finished sixth in 2007, and he didn't even sniff it. Like, it wasn't close, and you're right. You know, on one hand, you know, part of Buster Posey's, a strong part of his case would be the fact that the Giants won those championships with him behind the plate. But Jorge Posada, five championships. He wasn't, you know, he played a little bit on that 96 team, but he was absolutely at the core of the 98, 99, 2000, 2009 teams.
Yeah, and he didn't get any extra credit for that. I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that there are no players post-World War II who've been inducted with fewer than 2,000 career hits. There might be somebody with 1,900 or something like that. But Posey's sitting at about 1,400. So he's not going to get close to 2,000 hits unless he ages remarkably well. Again, catcher, fewer games, you know, all that. But again, longevity is so paramount for making the Hall of Fame. And I look, personally, I prefer peak. I want great players who were dominant, even if it's only for 8 or 9 years. You know, I don't have a vote yet, so I don't have to worry about it. But I'll probably be eligible when Posey's on the ballot. I don't know. He's got to play longer. That's my gut.
Wow. Posada, 1 year, as you said, 1 year on the ballot, 3.8%.
What year did he hit the ballot? Because when he hit it, that's when there were like 20 to 25 candidates and he got flushed out. You know, Bernie Williams, same thing. They just ran into that crowded ballot and the 10 player rule. I'd like to see him get another look at some point from the Veterans Committee for sure.
I would vote for Buster Posey. And, you know, I stopped voting, you know, 5-6 years ago for the Hall of Fame. But I would vote for Buster Posey for the reason you just cited. Peak of his career. He was one of the best players in baseball for a period, I think you would agree with me, of 3 to 5 years. And there was an extended period of time when he was one, either the best or one of the best at his position.
And you're right. And especially look how hard it is to be a well-rounded catcher in today's game. You know, you go since Posada, we've really only had three, right? You mentioned a Mauer, Molina, and Buster Posey. And that has to be worth something.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we got word from Jeff Passan last night that Major League Baseball and the Player Association spoke about the impending expiration of the collective bargaining agreement for the first time yesterday. Do you draw some hope from this?
I guess, right? You know, that came out of the blue. You know, everything we've been hearing was, you know, one side was in New York and one side is like in Hawaii and they're not talking and they're not within 3,000 miles of each other. So let's hope, you know, that something will happen here, especially when we've seen early on TV ratings are up everywhere. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, highest, you know, in years. MLB.TV setting records. Fans, we can see they're itching to get back. You know, it's obviously limited capacity, but I think I read it's at 80% of limited capacity, even though it's like 33 degrees last night in Chicago and snowing in Cincinnati. Fans want to get back to the park. So don't ruin this, owners and players.
Yeah, no kidding. Before you go, I need you to take a stand. Is Oakland the best team in the American League right now?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't see a dominant team in the league. They started 0-6. They were outscored 50-13. Now they've won 10 in a row. What? Look, haven't we learned by now, Buster, don't ever underestimate the Oakland A's.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Normally, they take off around Memorial Day. This year, right. They're sort of jumping forward, you know? They moved up the calendar a little bit, and they're running and hiding. And I am curious to see if the Houston Astros, who got off to that nice start and are now have drifted to last place in the American League West, if they're going to punch back or if all these injuries have just added up too much for them.
Yeah, 1-8 their last 9 games. They had the COVID issues, so their stars missed a few games. Those guys are coming back. Big bullpen problems in Houston. A lot of young guys without much experience. I still like that rotation, so I think they will bounce back, you know, and I'm not buying the Mariners. I'm not sure about the Angels. So I think Houston will make a run, but, you know, Oakland's very, very good.
Now, I know you have the home phone number of all the baseball gods who oversee the sport. Can you please say something to them about taking down all these young stars with injuries? Because it feels like every day we hear about it, whether it's Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., or yesterday Juan Soto, one of the guys we were excited to see is down.
I know I was texting my editor yesterday. This was supposed to be the year of Acuna, Tatis, and Soto, and you know they've all been injured. Hopefully, Acuna comes back here in the next day or two, and Soto just sounds like it'll be the 10-day stint. But yeah, it's sad because we were so hyped up on what these three young guys can do, and they've all had some issues so far.
All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
All right, you bet.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Hembo Knows on Baseball Tonight.
Hembo, Paul Imbakides, researcher at ESPN. He's a honcho on the show Get Up, but I hear him a lot now on Greeny's new radio show. It's almost like you're a co-host, Hembo.
Not exactly. I think you also misspoke there. I'm allowing Greeny to say a lot on my radio show. That's sort of what we've arranged right now. No one has to know that. The marketing team prefers if it's hashtag Greeny and not hashtag Hembo for a million obvious reasons, but I am letting him chime in every once in a while.
That's very nice of you. Yeah, I listen to that every day. I think it's a great radio show.
Well, thank you.
All right, give me something on the Yankees.
Well, Jameson Taillon threw 5 good innings yesterday, but I still, Buster, have major question marks about the depth of this rotation. I'm going to take you back now over the last 2 seasons. The Yankees are 10-6 with a plus 42 run differential in the 16 games started by Gerrit Cole, their ace. But in all other games, the Yankees are 29-31 with a minus 4. run differential. It really surprised me, Buster, to learn this week that when Gerrit Cole does not start for the New York Yankees over the last two seasons, they own a losing record. And the one other area of concern that I have for this club that I'm going to monitor as we go here is their reliance upon the home run. So during that time, again, this season and last, the Yankees are 15-30 when they don't hit multiple home runs. The average team wins nearly 40% of those games. They're going to score a lot of runs because they have a lot of boppers, but it could be an issue in scratching across runs in late inning situations. And then obviously, should they be fortunate enough to get into the postseason? What do you think?
I agree with you. As I watch them play, I'm a little bit more skeptical. They're just, and I think that that whole reliance on home runs for them translates into a lack of energy in their offense. And I don't mean that as a criticism of individual players, like not caring or not showing up, but I think you need to be able to win in different ways during the course of the year, especially as across the baseball landscape, the pitching gets more dominant.
That's a good way of putting it. They sort of remind me of a basketball team that relies so much on isolation, right? So when it's working as well as could possibly be imagined. You have one of the best offenses in the NBA, but when the ball doesn't have any energy and your ISO players aren't making, you know, fadeaway jump shots, just like, you know, if the Yankees aren't hitting home runs, there's also some flaws in that lineup. In the fact that, as you've mentioned so many times, so accurately, it's so right-handed heavy. Like the roster is definitely more flawed than I thought entering the season. I think they're going to be okay, but that's not a roster quite as good as I think I pictured entering the year.
And I also don't think that, you know, it'd be interesting to have a conversation with Brian Cashman about it after this year is over. I really think that the Yankees are a team that I think those theories that teams work with, like we're just going to build a great regular season team in hopes that it translates in the postseason. I think if you're the Yankees, you really got to structure your team to go all the way through the World Series. And I just don't think the nature of that offense translates well in the postseason.
That's right. I think we'll probably see that. We see that across all different kinds of sports too. There's no obvious reason why baseball would be any different, but we've seen several obvious examples over the last several years that the last couple teams standing every season are at least teams that make somewhat consistent contact and can do some of the things in October because the pitching is so much better. You're seeing all of the best arms compressed over a short period of time, and you're seeing a lot better velocity too. So I'm with you on that. This is a team that needs to be active at the deadline.
Yeah. And as you said that about, you know, comparing with other sports, this is like an NFL team that relies solely on the run. And then when they get behind by two touchdowns, they're completely screwed.
Good. Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens have seen that happen.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about the Oakland Athletics, who are killing it.
Yeah, they shut out the Twins in both games of the doubleheader yesterday. It was the first time since September of 1974 that the A's shut out teams in the front and back end of a doubleheader. Parenthetically, Catfish Hunter and Vita Blue started those games for the A's. I really like that note. But a couple things really stand out to me, Buster, about this pitching staff. The first is their home run avoidance. During this 10-game win streak of theirs, they've only allowed three home runs, and during that time, their offense has hit 19. That's how you win baseball games in 2021. Two, there's no staff in baseball that's more reliant upon their fastballs, on using fastball than the A's, at a time in which pitchers are spinning it more than ever. They're throwing fastballs with about 60% frequency. That's something of a rarity in today's game. And lastly, Buster, they pound the outer half of the strike zone. The numbers demonstrate that. So this is a group of mostly young starters with sort of an old school approach. And right now it's working like a charm.
Wow. 19-3 in their 10-game winning streak. That's pretty amazing. Crazy. All right, I know you had something else with me, something else for me you wanted to throw at me cold.
Yeah, so you mentioned this radio show that I get to host every day, and yesterday I pitched an idea to Greeny in which I said the Dodgers were so good that he could play. Mike Greenberg could play every single day for them, not only in the field, but also in their lineup, and they could still make the playoffs. I estimated that with Mike Greenberg, and this could be, we could very easily sub you in here, because I'd imagine your baseball skills at this point in your life are somewhat similar. No offense, Buster. I would estimate that Mike Greenberg or you would cost the Dodgers 15 wins by playing every single day. Do you think that's a high number? Is that a low number? Or is that number just right?
Wow.
15 wins.
Man, and I would be, Dave Roberts would be stuck with me, right?
So you're telling me
Dave Roberts would be stuck with me. He couldn't pinch hit for me late in games. I would be that guy coming up in that spot.
Correct. 600 plate appearances. Obviously, you're going to hit ninth because that's the, you know, spot in the order that sees the least daylight. Their analytic staff is going to scramble to position you on the field on every single at-bat, like wherever the ball is least likely to go. How many runs or excuse me, how many wins do you cost the 2021 Dodgers?
Yeah, I think that's about right. And I heard Greeny's response yesterday. He was very prideful. He was making his own case for himself. He's talking about if he was the fifth guy on the Warriors, that they would still be a good team. No, I would kill the Dodgers. I mean, the opposing managers and pitchers, you talk about working to get to my spot in the lineup and lineup protection being an issue. That would be a huge deal.
That's right. Because for sure, Buster, what they're going to do anytime there are two outs is just intentionally walk every single person in front of you. Like you're going to bat 600 times. How many hits are you going to get, Buster? You're going to get five hits?
Maybe five.
Are you going to get five hits? You'll get a couple knocks. You'll specialize.
I'd have to get the ball the outfield at this point in my life. I mean, I can run distances now, but the speed of my teenage years are absolutely gone.
You're going to specialize in double play avoidance. Like your manager is going to tell you, Buster, you just make that one out, just that one out. That's going to be your job as a hitter.
Yeah. And you know what? My best chance would be to be hit by a pitch. And I would do that unintentionally. You know, I'll never forget in 2001, Mike Mussina was throwing a bullpen session when I was covering the Yankees for the New York Times. And I was standing on the side and he looked at me and said, hey, you want to stand in? And I'm like, no. Because I said, it says nothing to do with you or trusting you or trusting your command, but I would not react by the time the ball hit me in the jaw. Like I would have no chance. And I suspect that I'd be hit. So tell Greeny to get out of the fantasy world and realize how much that he would affect these teams.
Oh yes. You know, he always has a very inflated view of himself. I'm just glad that you never stepped into the box against Mike Mussina. I wouldn't have wanted that to be on his Hall of Fame plaque. Also, you know, also killed Buster Olney in bullpen session. That would have been unfortunate. It might have cost him a couple more years on the ballot.
All right, Hembo. Thank you.
Later, boys.
Get out of here, Hembo. Sick of Hembo.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Wednesday. And first up, we have Chris at BergFan004. He writes in, when the Dodgers and Reds resume today, will Lucas Sims need to be on the mound to complete the three-batter minimum, as the delay was not the end of a half inning? What say you, Buster? Yeah.
Well, it's the Diamondbacks and Reds rather than the Dodgers and Reds. Oh. But the answer is the same. And it was funny. When I saw the question, Chris, it's a great question. My instinct was like, no, they probably wouldn't, because there'd be situations in which the suspended games would have to be forwarded to another time in the year when the roster might change. But I checked with Major League Baseball on your behalf this morning, and I was sent a rule by a Major League Baseball official, 7.02C, which details all of that. And if you want to go to the specific language in the rule, but no, Lucas Sims is not required to be on the mound when they resume that game today.
Good thing I cannot read. Next up, let's go. That's a well-established, that's canon on this podcast. Taylor Schwenk cannot read. Let's go to our pal, Jason Amico at Jason Amico. He has a Giants question. He writes in, is Kevin Gausman a bona fide ace now? He had another nice start the other night, Buster.
Yeah, it's got to make you bitter as an Orioles fan to see Kevin Gausman absolutely dominating. To me, he's going to be one of the most coveted players in the trade market. I've seen articles written that Max Scherzer will be. I think Gausman has a chance to be.
And last one for today, Mark Keating at Mark_Keating90 writes in, hey Buster, the last five starting pitchers the Padres have faced are Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, Trevor Bauer, Brandon Woodruff, and Corbin Burns. I think it's tough to think of a tougher stretch than that, and it's back to LA and Buehler on Thursday. Yikes.
Yeah, and after Buehler, you're going to get Kershaw. You're going to get.
It doesn't stop.
We have Dustin May on Sunday night. We have Trevor Bauer, I think, is going on Saturday. It's crazy the pitching the Padres have faced.
Tough look for our guys. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Dave, Hembo, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.